Coming up on podcast 1391, Ford splits the company in half, all in order to develop better electric vehicles. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the show today, got some updated numbers for last month in Norway, that bellwether of the electric vehicle industry. How do you fancy buying your new BMW with augmented reality? And also, what is that? We'll find out. And Kia will get an actual human being to come to you to charge your electric vehicle. Why? Well, we'll find out. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It's Wednesday, the 2nd of March. It's Martin Lee here, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Welcome to a brand new Patreon producer. Thank you very much for everyone who's been signing up lately. It's almost every day someone's signing up, and it's just so amazing to be part of that community and such an amazing group of people. New producer, Greg Kavinsky. Thank you very much, sir, for being a new producer of the podcast, and you can do the same at patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. We'll start with some news from Hyundai and a couple of small bits before we get to the main story from Ford. Well, Hyundai is saying today it will invest about $79 billion between now and 2030, and about $16 billion of those towards electric vehicles and the related businesses around EV. So that's a fair chunk of their total investment, but for context, they'll be spending $80 billion and 16 of that on electric vehicles. They did say today, as part of that financial announcement, they will introduce 17 EVs in that time frame. That's not just the badge Hyundai, though. That is 6 from Genesis and 11 from the Hyundai brand. 3 of the EVs will be sedans. 6 will be SUVs. There'll be a light commercial vehicle and a new type of model. Ooh. And it will begin sales of the IONIQ 6 later this year. Now, we've seen some more spy shots of the IONIQ 6 and increasingly doing some cold weather testing. Björn Nyland has a video out where he stumbled across that just in a car park, covered in camo. And, you know, you can tell that he really wants to kind of get up and close a bit more with it, but he has to be respectful and, you know, obviously can't touch the vehicle. There's the IONIQ 7 coming in 2024 as well. I'm really looking forward to the IONIQ 6. It's going to be more of a family sedan, but it looks like it'll still have some of that design language of the IONIQ 5 with the little kind of square headlights and those kind of 8-bit design cues. The group also want to have a 7% market share of global EVs by the end of 2030 and an annual sales target of 1.87 million. Doesn't seem a huge number. We're talking about Tesla doing a million this year, maybe 1.5 million in 2022, and then Hyundai saying 1.8 million by 2030. Seems, I don't know. What do you think? Hyundai is allocating 20% of their investment to EV businesses, which includes building new plants, building EV charging stations, building strategic alliances with battery manufacturers. It doesn't seem surprising or aggressive, said Eugene Investment and Securities analyst Lee Jail. I'll pop a link to Autoblog in the show notes so you can read more about that story. Now, here's one that's kind of topical. Russian electric vehicle charge points have been hacked by the Ukrainians with the phrase, "Putin is a D-head" on the screen. As a result of the hack on Russian's M11 motorway that runs between Moscow and St. Petersburg, they've now been deactivated. How did it happen? Well, according to a Facebook post by the Russian energy company Rosetti, the charging points were actually supplied, parts of them, by a Ukrainian company, and there was a back door left open for them to get access. So they changed the screens of the Russian chargers to "Glory to Ukraine, glory to the heroes, Putin is a D-head, and death to the enemy." The Facebook post said the charging posts were purchased through a Russian company, which had outsourced some bits to Ukraine. According to the Daily Mail, they add that it was working to isolate the hack and turn the charge points back on. One of the more bizarre stories of the last 7 days of pretty horrific stories, which are out there in the wider news. Now let's talk about Norway, that bellwether of the EV revolution. How many EVs were sold there last month? Of course, in February, there were 6,160 pure battery electric cars sold in Norway last month. But what does that mean? What's the context? Well, that's a 75.6% share of all new passenger cars in the month. The most successful models were the IONIQ 5. In addition, there were 852 plug-in hybrids, That's about 10% of the market. So add them together and you've got 86.1% of all new registrations in Norway had a plug socket on the side of them. And that is a very good thing. Okay, it's down from the absolute peak of 90-something, I think, towards the end of last year. But still very, very good. Can you imagine if all countries around the world had an 86% share of cars with a plug socket on the side? We'd be in a very different place than we are at the moment. So yeah, IONIQ 5 was the number one, followed by the very expensive BMW iX. There's a fair bit of money flying around Norway, but that's amazing. The second most popular car, a very expensive 100 grand big SUV. Third place, Audi Q4 e-tron, but they do count the e-tron and the Sportback version of that car as one. So maybe that needs to get split out into two or not. It was followed by the Polestar 2. Look, this is all amazing news. And well done, Norway, once again. Okay, let's get on to our headline story then. Ford will create an EV company within Ford, says the CEO, Jim Farley. There's going to be three divisions, really. There's Ford Pro, which is their connected services and kind of commercial staff and fleets and all those kind of things. Then there's going to be two new bits of Ford. There is going to be Ford Blue and Ford Model E. Each division has its own leadership. The traditional vehicle team is going to be led by one team, and they will do the combustion stuff, the bits of the company that are the, you know, diesel trucks, etc. And Jim Farley, the CEO, will also serve as the president of the new half of Ford, Ford Model E, in addition to his role of overseeing the parent company. Doug Field, who came from Apple and before that Tesla, aka Mr. Model 3, he is the Ford's chief advanced technology and embedded systems officer. He will lead the EV division within Ford called Ford Model E. And to illustrate the company's strength, Ford will also publish their profit and loss, their financials, their statements separately. So we'll now get four financial statements for Ford Pro, Ford Blue, and Ford Model E. Now, what most car companies are doing, unless they're a pure electric company, is they're folding in their electrification stuff to their overall balance sheet when they present that to the markets. And so this is some real transparency that Ford is doing here. And you have to applaud Ford for doing that. Also, this doesn't mean it's the end of Ford having dealers. Jim Farley says, we are committed to the dealer model. We're not keeping dealers in the mix for the moment. We are betting on dealers for the long term. I want to make clear, I'm not mincing my words. We will have new standards and a new experience, but we learned a lot by watching Tesla, was the quote that he told the Detroit Free Press. And I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes so you can read more. But what about that name, Ford Model E? That doesn't sound very much like the division of a company. One half is called Ford Blue. Maybe the EV half could have been called Ford Green. But no, they've called it Ford Model E. Over the years, Ford has sued other companies to keep them from using the name Model E, most famously actually Tesla. Well, they say that it sounded too much like Model T, the car that Henry Ford, the founder, was famous for, starting in 1908. Ford and Tesla entered into a contract 12 years ago, with Tesla agreeing not to register or use the name Model E. When Tesla later sought to register the name, Ford insisted Tesla abide by their previous agreements, and it was resolved amicably, it says, CNN Money back in 2014. Choosing the name is very intentional. We keep telling people this is the biggest transformation of the company since scaling the Model T. Jim Farley told the Detroit Free Press, we knew that Model E was going to be important at Ford Motor Company. Did we know it was going to be for this announcement 3 or 4 years ago? Absolutely not. But we protected it for a darn good reason, he says. Yes, very famously, Elon Musk wanted the name Model E, wasn't allowed it. And now Ford are using the name Model E for their entire EV business. Really, really interesting. I'm sure there's a bit of politics at play in there, but either way, super interesting to look at the background of why they protected that name, Ford Model E, so much, because they wanted to do something with it one day, they just didn't know what. Ford saying they'd reorganized their auto operations into distinct businesses, and they required different skills and mindsets, and if you have them all together, they would clash and hinder each other in different parts of the organization. Jim Farley said Ford would spend $50 billion on electric vehicles between now and 2026. It had previously planned to spend $30 billion in the 5 years ending 2025. So a significant increase on their previous spending commitments. It plans to spend $5 billion on EVs this year alone, which was double last year's total. Ford's reorganization is one of the most sweeping taken by a traditional automaker in preparation for the move to EVs, writes the New York Times. They say, Mr. Farley said the plan had come together after he and other top executives noticed stark differences in the two business areas. In making gas-powered vehicles, Ford must focus on reducing costs and generating the profits it needs to fund its EV plans over the next 4 years. We've talked about this many times on the show. Long-term listeners have heard me say this many times. There is a cultural clash going on where, you know, I want to promote electric vehicles and I want to promote clean green transport, but I'm also hyper aware that unless you're a startup raising money from the markets, etc., and that is a different set of challenges, if you're an existing automaker, it is the existing businesses which are bankrolling the new business. They're not doing it with debt, so that is, I think, a good thing. They're not betting the house on it, but they are using the cash flow, the profits from those dirty diesels and petrols to go EV. And it feels odd saying, actually, we do still need some people to buy these cars because that's what's funding the move. And at some point, the move will be done. It'll have its own momentum and they'll make enough money from EVs that they won't need the combustion stuff. But very interesting. Some people are saying, well, they're doing the split now in order to move those companies apart so that all they can saddle, if you like, they can saddle the combustion half, Ford Blue, with the bad debts, the bits that are going to be depreciating assets very quickly, and they'll put all the good stuff in the EV bit, and that's good for the business. Hey, look, I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of speculation going on. The electric business will have to spend heavily, though, to develop software and technologies to ramp up production quickly. They want 2 million vehicles by 2026, or they want to be making 2 million vehicles every year, so annual rate, by 2026. So that's going to require a huge amount of investment. Hey, that's a big, big story to give you today, and I'd love to know your thoughts on it. If you have any thoughts, you can email me about that and any story. Hello@evnewsdaily.com is my email address. Right, coming up on the podcast very soon, we are talking about a new battery project, semi-solid state in China, and why Kia want to come and charge your EV for you. Stick around. Now, as part of the Stellantis presentation earlier this week, it was called Dare Forward 2030, they offered two teaser images of the new pure battery electric vehicle from the Jeep brand. Still light on details, but we can tell you a little bit more now because we now have two images of the Jeep EV. The pictures revealing detail about the vehicle. The overall styling have the proportions that are similar to, if you know it, the current Jeep Compass. Got split headlights on this Jeep EV, a portion of the grille separating the running lights on top from the main lamps at the bottom. Of course, the grille is closed off. Don't need the airflow going in because you don't need oxygen to start making mini explosions inside an engine. The Jeep EV will go into production this November. That's going to be made in Poland, according to Automotive News Europe. The same plant will also produce the small Fiat crossover starting next April, and the all-electric Alfa Romeo awaiting green lighting on that project. According to Motor1.com, the factory will build 110,000 of these new Jeeps every single year. This Jeep will be the smallest vehicle from the brand in the US, occupying the space below the Renegade. Now let's talk about BMW, the i4 and the iX. How do you spec yours, though, if you can't get to a showroom or, I don't know, you're just not in the mood for going out and going to the dealers, I guess? BMW of North America have collaborated with Google Cloud to launch a new augmented reality experience. What is that? Well, if you're buying a new BMW i4 or iX, you can use the technology to bring the real-life environment of the car very close to home. You get up close and personal with the details of the car. You can zoom right in. You can even look at the fine grain of the leather seats, the stitching inside. You can change the colours, the specs. You can change what kind of wheels you've got, and you can walk around the vehicle and see what it would be like for reals. So you can go to bmwusa.com and you can do that either on your Android or iPhone and get this augmented reality look at the future car. I love these little ways that people are finding new ways of promoting electric vehicles. Now, what about the batteries inside them? You've heard of solid-state batteries, and actually that's a bit of a confusing term for many people, because what we'll probably get first, not a complete solid electrolyte, but a semi-solid battery, which is called solid-state batteries, rather confusingly. The Beijing company, WeLion, are rumoured to be the supplier to NIO, big company, NIO's solid-state battery supplier, and they just started construction on a massive project. Back in February, they broke ground on a 100 gigawatt-hour solid-state lithium-ion battery project in China's Shandong province. The project has an investment of $6.3 billion. Dollars. My goodness me, these investments are just so mega at the minute around EVs. First phase will be 20 gigawatt hours of what is a hybrid solid liquid electrolyte inside the battery. William Lee, who is NIO's founder, chairman and CEO, clarifying in an interview sometime after NIO Day by saying that these batteries will go into the NIO ET7. But they will be, which is coming out later this year, they will be semi-solid-state batteries specifically. But always interesting to talk about new battery technology. A lot of listeners tell me they like to hear about these developments on the podcast. Next, when your Kia runs out of electricity, don't worry about plugging it in yourself. No, you can call out Kia and they'll plug it in for you. Specifically, a technician arrives with a big battery. They're partnering with Currently. Now, Currently is an on-demand mobile EV charging app. The trial is running in LA, San Francisco, and San Jose. You download the Currently app, you book a time and place, and somebody turns up and charges up your EV. You don't have to be present as long as the charge flap is open. Kia EV drivers get 2 free months of the service, and then when you start paying $25 a month, you get 2 deliveries, or for $80 a month, you get 6 deliveries. Deliveries of electrons. Seems expensive. Who do you think would use this service? I am struggling a little bit. $80 a month for 6 charges, and that's not 6 full batteries. That's like 50 miles a time they give you or so. I mean, it's not for an emergency because they don't cover highways, and so you can't just run out of juice and call them. You've got to book it in advance on the app. They don't go to, like I say, stranded roads. That's more of a recovery operation. So who would use this service? Maybe I'm missing something. I do most of the time, let's face it. And so let me know. Now let's talk about a couple of bits of Tesla news, the Model S and the Model X. That yoke that is inside the new cars. Yeah, so that's going to not get a round steering wheel yet, but we think one is on the way as an option. But for the meantime, if you are stuck with the yoke, you will now get a push center horn. One of the things that even ardent fans of the yoke didn't like about the horn was the fact that it's a fiddly little button, which is not great when you want to alert somebody quickly to your presence, but also because it's easy to touch it. Even YouTube Marquez Brownlee, MKBHD, who loves his Model S and his steering yoke, he did say the placement of the horn button was a pain, and because it's a touch-sensitive button, he was pressing it accidentally. And so, yes, there will be a software update coming over the air. Every S and X built since November, actually, 3 months ago, have been equipped with the push horn in the middle of the yoke. They just need to update the software and it will enable it to work. Whether that disables the horn button, I'm not so sure. That wasn't clarified. And either way, why wasn't this on the car from the very beginning? Should have been. Model Y has arrived in Ireland, and the first delivery should be underway very, very soon. Cargo vessels with the Model Y on board mooring off the coast of Ireland, according to Morten Lund on Twitter. Morten Lund 89, he tracks Tesla ships, the Hyperion Ray, carrying the Model Y for the Irish market. Pictures on Twitter yesterday showed red, white and black ones rolling off the ship. Now, let's talk about a couple of kind of micro-mobility stories, if you like. The Segway GT2, that's an electric scooter, unveiled with 2 motors, which is not unusual, but also 43 miles an hour. of top speed. Okay, this is just getting a little bit freaky right now. The Segway GT2 has 8-inch wheels, 350-watt motors on the European version. But the new one, the GT2 version, where the not in Europe, where the regulations are less onerous, I would say, has 11-inch wheels and a 3-kilowatt total power. So that's 43.5 miles an hour, 70 kilometers an hour. It'll do 56 miles on a charge, or 90 kilometers, and it'll be out Q2 or Q3, according to Pocket Lint. You can read the full article. Have a look at a picture on Electrek. Micah Toll has done the review. I love Micah. His e-bike school YouTube channel, also rather excellent. He's a great author, and he knows everything there is to know about e-bikes and e-scooters. But at 43 miles an hour, 4 seconds to get to 30 miles an hour, I think I would want almost full-on motorbike gear if I was going to ride this scooter and at any kind of pace, because, you know, if you're riding a motorbike, you've got a decent level of protection. Okay, still not great, I admit it. I think like bikes are something like 1% of vehicles on the road, but 15% of serious injury. So yeah, like, I'm not saying that you can't get hurt on a bike or a scooter, motorbike. That's a lot of power for a scooter. I'm not so sure I want to be on a 43 mile an hour scooter. I'm sure somebody does, and you've got a bigger set of kahunas than I have. And finally, we'll talk about Bird, the company Bird, who makes bikes, are unveiling their e-bike, the Bird bike, in the UK market as of today. They've launched, has a, again, because of our restrictions over here, same as with scooters, same as with bikes, limited to a 250-watt rear hub motor, 25 kilometers an hour top speed, and that is with pedal assist, and it's got a 7-speed gearbox for or a drivetrain, I should say, for extra power. It has LED lights, it's got a handlebar dash display, costs £1,200, and you can get two models, either the A-frame, like a step over A-frame, or a step through V-frame. And it's on sale via Halfords, actually, which any one of my UK listeners will know. Halfords, a very, very famous name in kind of car servicing and bike retail. And, you know, it's where you go get your auto glim polish, isn't it, to clean your car on a Sunday morning. Right, that's your podcast for today. Question of the week with eMobilityNorway.com. What's the best looking EV on the market right now? I'd love to know from you inside and or out. You can pick both. Let me know. I'll read them out on Sunday. Thanks to our premium partners of the podcast, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge, they're in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Happy birthday, Derek. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one, see you tomorrow, and remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.